everybody. This is Buster H.R. Johnson, and you're listening to On Deck with Titanic.
Welcome to a new episode. This episode, well, it started off with JP Fantastic, and then we ended up pretty much having two. So I'll let you find out who joined in on the as the second person. It ended up being a very entertaining podcast, a little bit longer than normal, but I hope you enjoy it. And here's your new podcast. Here's JP Fantastic.
JP, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, first off, usually try to get it out. Where'd you get your start? Knowing I know who your dad is.
I started in 2012 at FTW. Up the road in New Bern, Tennessee.
FTW.
Sarge O'Reilly and Anton LaVey trained me.
Okay. Then you went from...
I went from there to... It was NWA Warriors of Wrestling in Union City with Alvin Bennett. Mm-hmm. And then Union City... What was it called? Ultimate Championship Wrestling. UCW.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I just never been over.
We stayed there for a while. And then EIW over in New Bern now. Mm-hmm. I've been just about everywhere over here in West Tennessee.
Right. So, of course, you was raised around wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And now you realize that you're being interviewed by one of the infants. A grown-ass man wearing a diaper.
Yeah, I remember that gimmick very well.
Yeah. It's true, Coco. Don't be laughing. Look, when a man gets fired from Arkansas and he comes to Tennessee looking for a booking, look, I'll do whatever.
Yeah, I remember y'all working Daddy and V-Man over quite a bit at the entertainment center.
Yeah, that's back when your daddy was like a quarter of his size now.
Yeah, he was.
Not saying that he's, you know, gained some weight over the years, but, you know.
He was a lot smaller back in the day.
Oh, yeah, he had a lot more hair, too.
Yeah. He had a lot of hair till Gage was born, and then it all went away.
God forbid, you ain't the wrong. You ain't the
man. No, it ain't me. It's that problem, child.
So, you like being a babyface, or you like being a heel?
I'd rather be a heel.
Is this your first time being heel?
No, I've been heel for most of my career.
So they had you over here as a babyface for a while. Well, see, because the first weekend I came here, there's this lady I sit by, and they were like, every time somebody come out, they would tell me who they were and kind of give me a little background on them. And when you and your daddy was coming out, that young boy over there, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But the other one's his daddy, and he's a real asshole. And I'm like, why no, Red? I ain't never met his boys, but... And he's like, oh, yeah, but... They were like, I got a real feeling that he's fixing to turn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you think? And he goes, mm-hmm. I think his daddy will get in his head enough. That's what parents do. I'm like... Oh, wow, okay. And then you turned.
Yeah, this is probably the first time that the roles was reversed. I was normally always the heel, and Daddy was always the babyface.
I do not ever remember your daddy being a good guy.
He's been babyface just about since I got in the business.
When did you get in the business?
I started, had my first match in 2012.
Children, just small children. How old are you now?
I'll be 26 next month.
God, to be 20. To be 20. My first match was in 1998. Back in the old days when TVs were in black and white and we wrote on chisels and everything. So, I know your brother... wrestles for championship wrestling in Memphis.
Yep.
How you feel about that?
Well, I'm happy for him. He's getting all the TV exposure he wants.
But you could still probably take him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure, yeah. You know, as long as he's away. We got a guest in here. You want to join in with us?
No, y'all got this.
No, come on.
You don't want.
Come on, pull on up.
You want me to pull on up?
Pull on up. All right, for anybody who wants to know who pull on up is Coco Anderson. That was the $7,000
man.
So, which everybody says you got like $6 out in the crowd last time I was up here.
I got a few dollars. All to give for the $7,000 to be real.
Right. So, how long have you been wrestling?
Oh, dear God. Let's see here. Started in the business in 2006.
Who trained you?
I was in a crew with when Derek had TLCW in Ripley, Tennessee. I started training there with him and Motley when they had their training school going. Ooh-wee. Let's see. I've been in the business now going on 16 years in September.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Started out as a cameraman, then the music guy, then a ring announcer, and then started wrestling. I had my very first match at SPWA under Outlaw Don Bass.
Oh, Don.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to meet Don?
I met him one time.
Oh, that made something else.
It was funny.
Very.
It was funny. My first night I walk in the locker room, he looks at me, he says, I got an idea for you. I said, okay, what you got? He's like, how'd you feel about if I put you under a mask? I said, all right. He's like, he looks over a guy named Monkey Boy who had a bunch of masks in his bag. He says, go over there, pick out a mask that you like, and come see me in the office. Okay, go over there, get a mask, go to the office. He said, now we need a name for you. He's like, oh boy, yeah, he knows where this goes.
Oh, the Afro.
Yeah, the Afro Assassin. It was funny because the mask was a good gimmick though. The mask got over because the mask had an Afro on it. The mask had an Afro on it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was corny as all get out. And people, it got over there, would do things with it and everything. We came to Ripley to EWE. When Chris Rocker and Cosmic Cowboy Brian Steele opened it back up. And I did the Afro Assassin there gimmick there whenever I was tagging with Tim Edwards and Brad Bad. We did it there for a while until I lost the mask. I was like, look, this is getting old. I'm ready to get it from under this. So
you want a little backstory on Tim Edwards?
Oh, dear Jesus. It probably wouldn't be anything I hadn't already heard.
Right.
He was actually one of the original Extreme Infants.
Did he wear a diaper too?
Yes, he did.
Oh, I need a picture of that. We need to find a picture of that.
So the story is.
Could you picture Tim's being?
I don't remember Tim being in it.
I was like, I came and talked to Molly. I was like, hey, I want to work. I ain't got no place to work right now. You know, dog, and then we kicked me out of Osceola for a little while. So I came over to Dyersburg, and he's like, well, come back in 2 weeks. So I come back in 2 weeks. I've got this idea. I'm like, okay. So he shoots me the idea of the Extreme Infant. It's wear a diaper, wear a cutoff shirt, and, you know, have a cigar in your mouth, and wear a bowler cap.
Blake Boss, man, the big old lollipop.
All right, look. So the night comes, so we do it. And roll a ball out. And me and Tim just go out running after this ball. And we're just acting like a couple kids. Well, he didn't accept it as much as I did. Motley told me, he's like, you look too natural at that. And Tim said he twisted his knee. There you go. So he turned around and he put next week when he told Molly he was good to wrestle. So Molly put him in the ring with Man Mountain Link, the guy that used to eat the Draw Chicken. Do you remember him?
Man, he used to scare me to death as a kid. It used to be me and Addison Walker. We sit on the front row at Peppermint Pond.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he'd come out eating that chicken. Both of us would go up to the top of the bleachers right hiding. Every week. He was the only one that actually scared me in the booth.
Look, I didn't know what to think. I'm in the same dressing room with the man. I ain't got a clue. You know, because the first time I came over, I came over to Peppermint Pond. Dusty was there. And he wrestled Mo. And I ended up, I think I wrestled Ali that night.
Oh, why doesn't him have
a right? Jeez. And then, so we had our match and everything. Well, Sam comes over to me and he's like telling me his spot for him to take off and go out there. There's no bionic elbow.
Right.
All of a sudden, he drops an elbow on Mo. One, two, three. Over with. Dusty gets out of the ring, walks in the back. Whew. Thank y'all. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And then turn around, and Mo comes back, and he goes, oh, no. And I was like, way to go, Sam. You missed your spot. Sam was going to get the elbow. And he turned around, and he goes, but nobody told me. I was like, you missed your spot. You're supposed to watch for your own spots.
Right.
And he turned he felt so bad about that. I still give him shit over it. That's been years.
A lot of people these days, they never watch the matches to know their spots.
But I was back there with Link. And so I just sat there. We'd get dressed by each other. Yeah, you got a man that eats a raw chicken and a guy putting on a diaper at the same time. And I'm like, look, I've been up here. And I've been watching you in the crowd eating that damn chicken. I know you ain't eating that damn chicken and swallowing it. Oh, no. So he gave me the secret. He keeps it on ice. I noticed he kept it on ice, but he would just chew on it, chew and chew, and then he would fit it into the cavity of the bird and just keep doing it. No way I would do that.
No, no.
Nowadays. Who else from back in the day y'all you remember?
Old Freezer?
Yeah. I've worked for Freezer.
The first time I actually met him when I got into business, I met him and Sam at the same time over at Osceola.
So yeah. You worked in Osceola too?
Yeah, I worked.
That's
over
where I started.
I didn't work over there long. Me and Billy teamed up over against the East Coast Bad Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam and Freezer came out there. They was supposed to be our managers. They sitting over there in the crowd, and you know how Freezer is now.
Look,
he's
tell
over
you
floating.
I love Freezer. But Freezer gonna flirt with anything that ain't got a penis, and he's gonna ask him, the first thing he's gonna ask him, are you single? I swear to God, you don't know how many people on my friends list send me messages and ask me if I know this guy. And I'm like, yes, I do.
And the only thing Sam would talk about the matches was how me and Billy was so big, but yeah, we was taking flat back bumps. He didn't care nothing else about the matches.
That's because he's just jealous because he could take a flat back. But that same was cool.
Yeah, he was pretty cool. And then Big Daddy was always good with me over here. And then me and Motley, we was always pretty cool with each other.
I think everybody was cool with Molly.
That's somebody that I wish that I could have an angle with. I've never actually worked him. I've worked him in a 6-man tag, and we was in there for one spot with each other.
Oh, that sucks. I think everybody should be able to have something with him.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, you'll learn a lot.
It is. That's like, yeah. Literally, I wish I could have a match with him. I've never wrestled him.
See, I was telling a story last night about to Hellraiser about him. You know, and we were in Memphis at the fraternity house, and we were doing a fundraiser for Red Cross. It was right after 9/11.
Right.
And, of course, I'm out there wearing a baby gimmick at a college fraternity. And Motley would, he would get a lot more out of me if I was, say, partaking in adult beverages. And so he'd be like, hey, get to drinking. So that's when I knew who I was wrestling. Well, by the time I would stay away from him, I wouldn't know a finish for nothing. So I turn around, I've already completely trashed. And I walk right in there to where he's sitting at, doing, coming up, telling everybody his finishes. I was like, I'm going over. I said, and my partner's going to take the flaming table. Yeah, I ain't taking that shit. And then he turned around and I rolled Motley up for a small package, won the match. He grabs the nearest chair, hits me in the head with his kid, just comes from the crowd and hovers over me. He goes, you got knocked the fuck out. And I just laid there, just blood just pouring down on me. I was like, wow, this was fun. Don't do that.
We've all had our moments.
Yeah.
If you hung with Derek, you had a lot of moments.
Look,
a lot of people give that man crap for stuff, but I'm not going to lie. He would give an opportunity to anybody that wanted one. All you had to do is just willing to prove that you wanted to work.
Right.
And if you gave it your all, he gave you a place to perform.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't give him credit for it, but I will.
Derek, I love working Derek.
I remember wrestling Derek the first time. It was at AAW right up the street in a four-way tag. Hey, we have a lot of history, don't we?
Yes, we do.
It was a four-way tag match, and it was the first time me and Derek actually ever got in the ring together. And I was like, okay. Because I grew up, I watched Derek on TV, and I was like, okay, I like him. I like him. Then sure enough, turn around, fast forward, get ready to start wrestling. This is the guy that's going to fucking be training me. I'm like, holy shit. Okay, I got this. Get in the ring with Derek, you learn a lot, and it's like motion. It's like poetry in motion. It's easy peasy. All you gotta do is listen.
Right.
And he protects you. But don't get on his bad side and mess up in the ring, because you will feel the wrath of Derek.
Derek and Rocker was supposed to be my first angle. My very first angle in the business. They no-showed the night of the match.
That's a hell. Wait, hold on. I think your daddy started telling me this story. Yeah. Go ahead.
They no-showed the first match. So we put Rude and Eric Hayes in there with me.
Right.
So I had the match with them, learned a lot from them, love them to death. And then I started working NRG, Anton LaVey and Ricky Andrews. And you know, anybody knows them, they're going to work stiff. You work stiff with them. But the night, me and Ricky Andrews done a spot where he gave me the pie face and I slapped him. He told me to slap the shit out of me. I want you to slap me as hard as you can. Okay, so I slapped him, and then we got to the back. Daddy said, that's how you slap anybody that tells you to slap him. So the next day, we worked Derek and Rocker at a benefit show. Mm-hmm. Me and Derek done a spot where they're the heels, we're the faces. We lock up, he takes me to the corner, slap me. Do it again, slap me. I duck, I slap him. And you remember, Daddy told me to slap everybody like I slapped Ricky Andrews the night before.
Right.
That's what I did. I slapped the shit out of him. He rode out of the ring, went to the back. Rocker sitting over there like, well, what the fuck are we supposed to do now? And Daddy takes off to the back to get him. He done went outside and grabbed his bottle and started drinking.
That's better. Oh, my God.
So me and Rocker's, okay, we'll just work a singles match soon. They decide to show up or whatever. So we start working. Derek comes back out. He tags in. He shits can me out. He says, tag your daddy. And to this day, Derek would not get in the ring work.
I sure know wouldn't call no slack.
To this day, he would not work me.
Damn. Oh, damn. Oh, Lord. Wow.
They brought me and Billy into LAW. We were supposed to work him and Allen. Mm-hmm. We get there. Derek gets there. He sees who he's working. changes the whole card.
That is Derek. If Derek saw he was on the card working somebody and he didn't like, he's like, nope, I'm rewriting this. And he would take the company's card and redo the whole damn thing, and they didn't say shit about it.
Well,
they
this time, do it. At this time, I believe it was Eric Hayes booking and Derek booking.
That's the reason why.
So then you have them two. Derek, he gets there last minute, changes everything, exactly. Does what he wants to do. Like I said, he gets there, sees Eric's got Sons of the South versus Derek and Allen. He said, we ain't doing this shit. We're changing it.
Look, I was working for Derek, right? At a shoot job.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, hold on. Derek had a shoot job. It's a yeah. I remember he was a car.
He was working at Teletech. It was an insurance place for, like, medical insurance stuff. So, we were working there. Well, my sister come to me and wants to start running shows. Just wants me to run the bag for her. So, go ahead and do it. Well, I turn around. It's like, Derek, needs you this on this Saturday night. Well, I want, and he goes to tell me what he wants. And I turn around. I said, you're going to get what the fuck I give you. And then he turns around. He just looks at me. I said, have I always took care of you? Yeah, all right, did. So then he turns around and he waits about a week. He texts me. He goes, hey, who the fuck am I working? I said, whoever I put you in there with. Then he turns around. He calls me. He goes, hey, I can get Brandon Baxter for so much money. I turned around. I was like, well, let me run that across my sister. So I was like, hey, get double B for this.
Right.
Yeah, do it. It's like, all right. Tell Brandon he's working somebody.
Derek gets there. Derek Pro's like, hey, I want to work Brandon.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he wanted.
Exactly. I remember because they had this thing that Brandon was doing in Arkansas. They had this big show that they used to do sometime.
Fourth and Force.
Yes, Fourth and Force. I remember my very first one that I went to, and I was like, holy shit.
It's packed.
It is. I'm like, you're on, like, literally, it's like the beach. You're on the sand, in the ring. And I'm like,
head a lake.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck?
It's huge.
Do they still do that?
They moved it out to Joe Mack Campbell Park, but they don't really do the wrestling no more.
Okay. Because I knew Brandon was over it at the time. Like, they were doing live radio interviews and broadcasting and everything from there. And I was like, holy wow. And this is the time I was still green. I was like, I've never seen anything like this.
Right.
But being with Derek, you learn the ins and outs of things and how to do business. And you're like, okay. Okay. You're smart as you are. You don't do this, but you go, okay.
Yeah, see, I got to work Derek once at Osceola. The hell, it was, like, so easy.
Eric Hayes?
No, Derek.
Derek, yeah. Yeah.
I've never worked Derek Hayes.
I have. I've worked a lot of tag matches. I remember the last match we had was a street fight between him and Chris against me and Brett. Me and Tim.
Tim, yeah.
The last night of LAW. Probably one of my favorite matches I've had.
My last night at WWF, I don't remember who my partner was, but Jimmy Blaylock was with us. And we were wrestling Tim White and Ricky Hayes. And we burned Ricky.
Tell you, Ricky's stiff.
Oh, I was blessed. He's stiff as some of the guys I've been in with, and I'm talking about your daddy's one of those guys.
We did a spot, I know, during the angle with the Hayes, and they had Ricky come in for it. Ricky fucking laid my ass out. I was like, holy shit. Okay. I was like, wow. I saw birds flying. I saw birds legit.
Wow.
I was like, okay.
We had Ricky do a spot. It was me and Billy against Eric and Chris. We was doing a spot with a chair. We had him take it from me.
Oh,
and blast me because he's a special guest referee. And we've been leaving him laying or whatever. So he blasts me. I was like, oh, shit. What did I just run into?
Well, see, I thought Molly was going to be swinging a mean chair, but it's so easy from him.
Yeah.
And I was like, more shocked than anything. And so I was like, thank God, why couldn't any of the rest of them be like that?
I get that a lot. A lot of people look at me and be like, you like, you'd be the stiffest person ever. But when you get in there and you throw your punches, it's like, I'm like, yeah, that's what happens when you get taught how to do it.
You know, we took and got so many, you know, being coming from Moondog spots, working around with Moondog, you end up getting hit with a bunch of damn chairs anyway. Well, the first chair, he got hit, this real thin chair, and he's like, you're taking your first headshot tonight. So, you just ruined my whole night. So I turned around, went out there, slid the chair in the ring, got in the ring, turned around, bam. As soon as I come in, I just go down to my knees, and my head's just throbbing. I'm like, dear God. Of course, it was wrapped around my head, so I had to take it off. Oh, it was so bad. We get to Lake City at the fire department. There's a plastic chair. I was like, that's yours. I'm like, I am not taking that shit. And he turned around. I'm like, I ain't taking it in the back. I ain't taking it to the head. It's the only thing I'm thinking of. I'm not taking it. Yeah, you are. I'm like, there's no way. We just keep getting interrupted. Come on in. We're right.
Just taking a short break to remind you that on Friday nights in Ripley, Tennessee, Pro Wrestling Mid-South, 8 o'clock. And on Saturdays, 7:30 in Dyersburg, Pro Wrestling Mid-South. And then Mondays, 8 o'clock on Beale Street. I believe the address is 310 Beale Street. Yeah, you can get your Pro Wrestling Mid-South fix there as well. But now we're going to return back to the show.
We're raw. We're live.
We're live. We're on a podcast.
We're on a podcast right now.
What's up? Oh, Dave, need you.
I'll be out there in a second.
Well, you want to join in too?
Hell no. We don't want him talking. Get out. Get out. Close the door. Get out. Get out. We're here doing a podcast. You can.
Can I be in it?
No, we're talking about things you should not know.
No,
about.
You don't need to hear about these.
I don't know
stuff. Close the door, please.
So,
fans, we are live. We're raw. Not WWE raw, but we're raw.
So, we turn around, and then he gives me the spill on how I'm taking this shot. Well, I already got this thing called the bubble guts going on already.
Sounds like somebody else
we
know.
Well, I've been farted during a match with LaFonce, and it stunk. And of course, LaFonce's like, God damn, boy, did you shit on yourself? No. But I'm fixing to really hate this. Well, I get cornered up. All the heels are in there beating up on LaFonce. Well, Dog comes out there with the chair. Well, I get cornered up. And then I go to get out of the ring. I literally tangled myself up in the ropes. He's like, try to, you know, act like you're getting tangled up. You can't get out. And he hit me right in the ass. And I shot out right out that damn thing. We got back in the back. And he's like, Ty shit all over himself. It was just a wet fart.
I think as an announcer, yeah, we was doing the invade. They were doing the invasion angle at TLCW when Flash Flanagan was there. Somebody else is good to get knowledge from too. They were doing the hostile takeover, and he had just turned heel, and he was swinging the kendo stick. He was hitting everybody. He left everybody laying with the kendo stick shot. He hit Rick Marks with it, and Derek looks at me before the whole show. He's like, "Tonight, kid, you're gonna get a little color." I'm like, oh. Fuck, I'm scared. I was scared shitless that night. Flash fucking hit me with the fucking kendo stick at the time when they had the deep ramp. It hurt like hell. I fucking had a headache for 3 days. I was like, oh my God. He's like, yeah, the best thing to do is just take it. You can't protect from it. I'm like, yeah, but that shit hurt. especially when they're in the when you're in the moment and you're like, I was like, shit, yeah, you're not playing for the Cubs, stop.
Yeah, he probably had all the he didn't gimmick it up either.
No, he did not. That thing, it rattled. I was like, oh my god. I was like, okay, I'm done.
I literally was like, okay, I'm done. Stop.
Yeah. I love Fletcher to death, I do.
I worked him one time and he taught me a lot.
Yes.
In just that one match.
So riding up and down the road with him, he would come down here whenever Jeff O'Dell had LAW in Rector, Arkansas. Riding on the road with him and listening to him tell stories from when he was in Puerto Rico and his time in OVW and his little short time he was doing stuff with WWE and everything and in Memphis. It's like, he's a book. I told him, I said, you should write a book. Just telling your story and your experiences, because I swear, you'd be sitting there and you'd be listening to it and you're like, so can you tell me some more about that story over there in Puerto Rico? Tell me more about this flaming fire rope fire match that you had over there. Tell me more about these hardcore matches there. And you fucking go on and on about him and Savio Vega, him and Abyss, and I'm like, jeez. I'm like, yes. And it's like, I like listening to old wrestling stories because it makes me remember what makes me love the wrestling business. Because you hear how passionate they are about it, and it's like, yes, that's me. I am that passionate. I love this business. And then you have those moments, and you're like, ugh. And then you hear a story about it, it's like, oh, yeah, there it is. Somebody who has the same passion you have for it, livens and fires you up for it, it's like, yes. You just can't find that no more.
No, it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, we sit here, we joke around about these stories, it's like, these just happened, like, maybe 5-6 years ago.
Right.
And I'm like, I remember them, and it's like, those are fun times we had, but, and it's like, you get in those spells, but, man.
I had a week before Christmas in 98, it was me and Cookie St. James.
Did you wear the diaper?
No, I went in the diaper in Arkansas. If my dad knew I wore a diaper,
he'd kick your ass.
He would have killed me before he died, so we wouldn't be doing this. So... I actually went by the Love Boat. Ron McLarity, this is Ron McLarity's story. Ron goes, look, you was a baby face. Titanic is a baby face. You know what you need to be? You're the Love Boat. Bam. Didn't tell me nothing else. Bleached my hair blonde. And took and went and got, I used to wear blue jean shorts. And I bleached, I tie-dyed them. And the woman that owned a barbecue shack up there in Leechville, the little small town I'm from.
What's the name of it again?
Leechville.
Oh, okay.
And we turned around and she, everybody that worked for her had tie-dye shirts. So she ordered me a tie-dye shirt. And it just had her name on here, all her stuff on there. And I wore it. I didn't have to pay for the shirt. Because they saw her, you know, her emblem was right there. So, right. Free shirt. And I was doing that. Well, we ended up working LaFont's and Handsome Jimmy Valiant. Now, when I first started, I met Handsome. And he talked me out of my last $20 to buy a damn videotape, a VHS, of his career. Well, part one of his career. So, we're in Mark Tree. Well, we did it. Osceola, a main event on Osceola. Semi-main event in Mark Tree. Mark Tree, well, Osceola got kind of wild. A couple guys tried to come in on me and Cookie. They were handing their kids off, trying to come after us. But the real fun time happened that Saturday night. Handsome gets the hot tag, goes to put her hands together. I hit the top of Cookie's head, splits my eye open. I fall out of the ring. Blood's just pouring out. Well, I get up. Just, of course, my blonde hair is all red. Looks good to me. I'm fine with it. I didn't care. I turn around. I had to remember, still try to remember what I had to do. So I get in there, and I forearm hit Handsome Jimmy so hard, he turned around and
went over into the ropes and curled himself into the ropes and tied himself up. I don't lie. And then
I'm picturing
him. It was hilarious. I forearmed him, and he just kind of staggered over the ropes, and he just turned around and just hooked his arms up and tied himself up. It was hilarious. Well, I call from the car phone. Yeah, car phone. No cell phone, car phone. I'm like, hey, I'm good. Everything's good. So the Handsome starts, I was like, let Handsome know I'm good. And so Friday night comes back around, and they're like, so Handsome keeps on asking them, is Billy Dundee okay?
Billy Dundee?
Yeah. So they bring in Handsome back, and I turn around, I'm like, man, I was good. Get healed up to her thing. And he turned around, and he goes, man, superstar, I'm just glad you okay. And I'm like, I'm Titanic. He goes, oh, dang, I'm sorry.
You gave him a you gave him a concussion. Oh, wow.
Hazel was something else. But it was so easy to write.
Did he kiss you?
No. He ended up kissing my dad. So when my dad started aggravating me about your grandson, telling my grandpa, your grandson lost to a 100-year-old man. I was like, yeah, but dad got kissed by it. My grandpa looked over and he goes, you got anything else you want to say? Dad, we can't have dad there. I know you got some more stores.
Tell you, the easiest people I ever worked with, Psycho and Pappy, the asylum.
Yes. I didn't get to work the Pappy part. I got to work Arnez.
The first time I ever worked them was me and Daddy teaming up when I first started. We was working an airport show over here in Dyersburg. And Daddy told Psycho, he said, I want you to stiff him like you stiff me every time we work. Psycho came over to me, said, kid, just oversell everything I do. He said, I said, why? He said, because your daddy said if I don't stiff you, he's going to beat my ass. I don't want that. So we get in the ring. You could tell Psycho, he was just bullshitting. He was over throwing those light punches. Then he gets me in the corner. He always done the spinning back kick in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought he knocked me out. I went over there, tagged Daddy. He said, why are you tagging? Dizzy. His kick made me dizzy. He said, suck it up, kid. Take me back in.
I want to ask you for one guy. Name one guy you've never been in the ring with that you would.
Alan Steele.
And why? I mean, I know why. I mean, I think Alan's
good, best friend.
Yeah. He was my favorite singles worker when I was a kid. And then Picture Perfect was my favorite tag team when I was a kid, and now I'm getting an opportunity to work them. So Adam Steele's the main one from that time era that I really want to work.
Christian ignored me the other day at Walmart and blah, blah. Go ahead and get him good for me. Coco? One guy.
Oh, God. Because I've had the opportunity to work with Rude, Poker, bunch of them.
You're good to work with Tully.
We did a short stint there in Ripley when Rashard was running Ripley. He brought Tully in, and it was going to be a six-man tag, but Tully just wanted to manage that night, but we did a spot there. Didn't get the chance to actually wrestle. If I have to say somebody I would want to wrestle one-on-one that I have not wrestled would be Motley. Literally. Like, to this day, I've said, I would run a show just to book Motley, just so I could have that opportunity to work Motley.
Right.
Because you hear a lot of the guys tell the stories, and you see Motley, how he works, and then him in training that wouldn't be easy on you, and work you till you threw up. I'm like, I want to work Motley. That's out of everybody. For me, this area where we're at right now, Motley is quote-unquote a god here. Because, honestly, there's not a show Motley hasn't gone to in this area and hasn't drawn with anybody that he worked.
Right.
He could take the popcorn boy and put him in the ring with him, and that kid would leave there literally somebody's a household name.
Yeah, I mean, he taught me how to get up on the top rope, not thinking that I was going to be the receiver of a choke slam from V-Man onto some thumbtacks, but...
I got to work V-Man one time in Memphis. No, we worked twice. Me and Gage was teaming up as the Boom Squad. We went up there to work V-Man, and it was supposed to be, what was his partner at the time? Pure Power.
Bishop?
Yes.
Yeah, Bishop. Yeah, it was.
But Bishop broke his ankle. Right when we was coming in, he broke his ankle, so they put Danny B's son in there, DJ.
DJ.
The first night we was there, we just fiddle-farted around with him, and then the second night, they had a wheel, a gimmick table, or whatever you want to call it. But they spun the wheel, and we ended up with a kendo stick match. V-Man told me, he said, "Don't hit me hard, I ain't gonna hit you hard." I said, "Okay." V-Man, he barely hit me. I looked over at Eddie, he said, "Lay it in." Okay. V-Man looked over, he said, "Fuck you, Rick."
We did a show for Relay for Life over in Paragould, and I got Bishop to come to it. I was like, "Look, I'll put gas in your car." Everybody came and worked for free. They got fed and everything. I was like, "Just follow me, and I'll get you where you need to go to get back on the interstate." I said, "But we'll stop somewhere, and I'll put gas in your car." So he was following me because he was the only one that traveled any real distance. Right. So we're heading back. There's no lights. You're going through small, middle America towns. He turns around. He calls me. He goes, "Man, it is dark." I'm like, "Yeah? Where the hell we at?" I said, "You're in Cardwell, Missouri right now." Well, so he turns around. We get up into Manila and pull into Road Mart. It's a little overnight gas station. He gets out. First person he sees is a dude with tattoos all over his face. He gets in there and puts on a hoodie, and he just squeezes real tight. I was like, "What's up?" He goes, "Man, I can't believe you got me in this fucking place."
Right.
And then he turned around and got him filled up in their thing and sent him on his way.
Well, we brought Bishop in to work Gage. And he had him in one corner, had him up for the body slam, and he chunked him. You know how big Gage is.
Yeah.
He ain't as
Who's
smart.
Gage?
Aaron Roberts, my brother.
Okay.
So he chunks him from one corner to the next. I was like, "Man, I ain't never pissing him off."
He was strong. Now, I did a thing. I was there. I showed up at Oshilla one night. I brought some kids with me. And LaFonce told me, he said, "Hey, at the end of the show, we're just going to do a big old fight. You want to join in on it?" I was like, "Sure." And he was like, giving me the spot to come help him out. Well, next thing I know, Bishop gets knocked down, and he's laying on the ground. He looks right up at me. He goes, "Splash me." I ain't got no damn knee pads on or nothing. But I do. Splash it.
Back in the day, somebody that scared me when I first started going to TLW was Mike Tucker. When he was doing the Jawbreaker Jones gimmick.
I don't remember him doing that. Remember him doing
the Ike Tucker deal. It was when him and Bishop and Oz were together. Because Oz and him were doing the Blackout Squad.
Yeah, I remember Oz and
Derek and him had put him with them for a little bit. But he came out, he was doing the crazy old black man gimmick. I was like, "Oh my God. Really? Wow." I was like, okay. But then it was like after you got to know him and talk to him, I never knew he wrestled for Vern Gagne in the AWA.
Who was that?
His name is Ike Tucker. He wrestled for Vern Gagne in the AWA. This is what's messed up about it. I turned around and went back and started watching some old AWA stuff. Mm-hmm. saw him wrestle Lawler there. Saw him wrestle Nick Bockwinkle on there. I was like, what the crap?
I used to watch AWA like every day after school.
Yeah, and he was one of the job guys. He was enhancement talent on there. But it was the fact that he was there. He went through those doors with them, and I'm like, what the hell? It's like a lot of people don't know Motley wrestled Ric Flair on Channel 5 TV.
Yeah.
And he went toe-to-toe with Ric Flair.
Molly just don't talk about
him. Nobody, exactly. And then the fact, too, is a lot of people don't study the business either. Because me, I'm going to go back and watch old stuff. I nitpick about stuff. I go back and I watch it, and I'm like, wait a minute, that looks like somebody I know. And then you never knew you'd see Motley, this skinny guy with the curly hair, with nothing but trunks and boots on. You're like, wait a minute. It's like, wait, what's his name? What? That's Motley. Oh.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, and me and Ike, we'll talk every now and then. We talk, and he's another one. You talk to him about the AWA days. He would tell you how Vern Gagne was about the whole AWA and all this stuff. And it's like, jeez. Maybe that's why I'm such an old school type guy. Because I like to listen to the older guys talk about it. Because wrestling was mine and my granddad's thing.
Right.
I remember my first time going to the Mid-South Coliseum. I was like, oh, wow, this is huge. Okay. It wasn't as big as it was back then, but we're talking in the 90s. My first wrestling match was maybe 96, 97. Used to go to them after my baseball games in Brighton when Dave Milliken ran AWA in Brighton, Tennessee.
See, I got like the Jonesboro, Blyville.
That's where I met. That's where I saw Derek at first. Him and Danny B. Good.
You know, I saw them there in Brighton. Yeah, we always got the 25. You know, Channel 5 guys. You know, Jonesboro and Blyville and Kenny. They go to Kenny, and I was there when. Oh, it was Lawler and the American Eagles, which was Dundee and Danny Davis.
Yeah.
Wrestled the Moondogs and Richard Lee. Huh. And my aunt gave her purse to Lawler to hit him with. And find out she had a brick in the purse.
Wow.
I was like, I ain't going nowhere with you no more.
Hey, look, she wanted to make sure she was going to be protected.
No doubt.
And I was like, oh, shit.
You know, and it was like you said, you know, hearing about going through the same curtains as these old-timers did. I mean, I felt the same way when I you know, went through the curtain at the Coliseum in 2001. You know, you got the Road Warriors there. I'm sharing a dressing room. You got the Moondogs over here. You got PG-13 over here. You got Buddy Landell over here. You got Bert and Colorado Kid over here, and it's just
I know, right? I remember my first time working on a show with Lawler for the very first time for Derek at TLCW, and I was like, holy crap, I just met Jerry Lawler. Okay, because growing up, Lawler was the guy. He was the local guy, and then you see him on TV and you actually meet him in person. It's like, okay. And then turn around, you get Brian coming in. It's like, oh, wow.
That's how it was whenever we brought Jimmy Hart in to manage me and Billy.
Yeah.
And just knowing the history that he
exactly.
had. And just to have him be your manager, man, it was so cool.
Exactly. And Jimmy Hart, oh, man. I remember in Arkansas that they did a show, Corey Macklin them did a show in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. They had Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Coco Beware, and Jimmy Hart on it. And Jimmy Hart sitting there in the locker room and talking to him. He's like, don't be nervous, baby. You got this. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
I posted on one night, and I just had a lot of people just hound me. But I am not a fan of Jimmy Hart.
Are you human? Okay, the thing is...
I mean, come on. I mean, look. You can be honest with me. And just tell me, hey, don't want to take a picture with you. I mean, if I want to take a picture with you, it's going to cost you $20. Just be honest with me. I was like, hey, can I get a picture with you? Well, I'm doing this right now, so if I have to take a picture with you, it'll be $20.
Like, that's fine. I already got one with you when I was at the Coliseum. I was just, you know, I took pictures with the guys. They were doing the first Hall of Fame show at Lawler's Bar and Grill.
Right.
So I got a picture with Lawler. Just mashed it up on Facebook. Then I got one with Cornette. Never had one with Cornette, so I was cool there. Of course, you know, anytime me and Coco come across each other, we get a picture. And I dug. I guess that's about it. And I asked Jimmy, and he's like, well, it's going to cost, I'm going to have to charge you $20. I'm like, nah, I already got one with you. It's okay.
Jimmy done an interview after our match with Mr. Paul from over there in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
We told him, yeah, he said, what y'all want from this? He said, just whatever you want. Shoot off the hip. We don't care. And it was so cool just for him to compare, just to put our names in the same sentence with Lawler and Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake and all those guys.
Right.
And just for me, that was the greatest.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that'd be pretty
between
cool.
That and working Tommy Dreamer was probably my two favorite moments so far.
Yeah.
Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
What about you? We'll talk about yours later.
Yeah, we can talk about mine later.
We'll talk about yours later. That'll give us something to talk about.
The only thing with Tommy Dreamer was they didn't want Tommy Dreamer to have his kind of match because we was at the high school gym in Ripley.
You want to do hardcore?
He was mad about that. So we went out there. We just had a normal match. But still, just the experience of being with him was amazing.
That's cool. I had a guy tell me he was going to put me in the ring with Raven 1 week, 1 month, and then the next month I was going to be in there with Abyss. That's what he told me.
Still waiting on those matches, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, okay, I'm coming out of retirement for those matches.
Right.
I want to take out DDT and Black Hole Slam. Still waiting. Well, guys, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Well, you can always do this again. You can crash his next time.
Yeah, you can crash mine next time. Of course. I wasn't even trying to crash yours. But yeah, you're welcome to crash mine.
We can look at it. I just like to, you know, I don't have no like real set thing on these. It's just, hey, let's get in here and let's bullshit talk. Because we're
right. Exactly. And that's the thing I like about it. It's raw. It's like not rehearsed, not choreographed.
Right. I don't edit.
And that's good. I hope not because I want, motherfuckers coming in here fucking interrupting.
Because you know I want everything as is. Yeah. I just don't edit. Now I'll probably go. You know, I'll go home and I'll put up an opening,
right,
and then you know set into it. But I mean, as far as this one's going, yeah, this one's going to go with a two-parter. I just don't want a long podcast.
How long have we been? Almost an hour.
You're long-winded. You remind me of a Baptist preacher.
But it don't feel like we've been here.
It doesn't.
Once you get started,
time flies by.
Especially when you talk about fun times.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. You get to talk about old days of growing up in your history while watching wrestling, then getting into business. It's those stories that make you just say, okay, I can sit here and talk about this and listen to it all day. It's like the table three.
Especially for me because I grew up here.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up watching WWE or exactly. WCW stuff. I grew up watching.
See, that's something we could do like every week. We could just sit here. And there's always going to be something we could talk about.
Oh, well, definitely.
I went a lot further. I can go a lot further back than probably you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't even know how old you are.
33.
You're 33. Okay. So, yeah, I got a few more years on him.
How old are you?
I'm 42.
Oh, you ain't got that many, but we know how old you are, young buck.
But I'm going to finish this up. You going to whoop somebody's ass tonight?
Yep.
I don't know.
We'll whoop on John Michael.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
He's been kayfabing me since I come over here.
Fuck him.
Pull out that pretty blonde hair.
To be honest, I ain't even been in the back yet.
I wouldn't. It's hot back there.
Hell, it's hot out in the front. Hell, I found the vent. Yeah, I found the vent 2 weeks ago. I found the vent. I turn around. I go over and I set up the camera.
play and get up and just stand right there in front of the vent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And everybody else is griping about the fans. I'm like,
Uh-huh. Got to stay over there.
Well, guys, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you.
I will definitely get back with you.
Oh, definitely.
And anytime y'all just want to sit here and bullshit, we'll do it.
You name your time and place. I'm game.
It'll be on a Saturday when I'm here.
Exactly. Mr. Kayfabe.
All right, this is the end of On Deck with Titanic.